in the book of Leviticus. Almighty God was pleased to set forth in offerings, sacrifices made, He set forth in picture, in type, our blessed Lord and Savior. As Brother Scott just read in the book of Hebrews and the book of Leviticus, I'll tell you this, for myself, I have been reading through the book of Leviticus, the book of Hebrews, comes by the revelation of the Spirit of God vividly alive in what Hebrews sets forth, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Scripture reveals, the blood of bulls and goats never puts away sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood puts away sin. His blood, without the shedding of His blood, there's no remission of sin. Almighty God, in these offerings, we're going to look this morning and, Lord willing, this evening, I'd like to just take this morning and tonight and just look at the third chapter of the book of Leviticus. The first chapter of the book of Leviticus dealt with the burnt offering. There is no offering that God was pleased to set forth that would perfectly set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one offering. There was nothing that was perfectly set forth in His offering, in the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was done, the suffering of His soul, was indescribable in our language. What He did, the work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary, His Father alone knew. In these offerings, though, God has set forth the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we behold Him as a diamond, looking at the facets of Him. Our minds are finite. He's infinite. We cannot comprehend the depth. The burnt offering set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the satisfaction of the Father in the Lord Jesus' death. That the Father was satisfied. It was a sweet savor offering. The meat offering was the offering that set forth the glory, the willingness, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity. It was the meat offering. It was a meal offering. It was offered unto God, partaken also by the priest, a picture that we eat of Him, we fellowship with Him. And this morning I would like to look at the offering called the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3, if His oblation, His offering, His gift, be a sacrifice of peace offering, if He offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, He shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay His hand upon the head of His offering and shall kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now let me just explain something. When this offering was brought, as I said the first night we looked at this, there was a large tent that surrounded this tabernacle, large outer tent. Right inside that door, right there, was the brazen altar. There it was. The priest was standing there. An offering was brought and was presented to the priest. That priest would take that offering. That offering was offered unto the Lord. That burnt offering was offered every day. There was a continual remembrance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That burnt offering was to, the fire on that altar was to never go out. But that offering was brought. So if this offering is brought, this peace offering, you bring it. He shall offer, verse 3, of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The remainder of this chapter repeats basically what we just read. And for the sake of time, I'll refer to it during this message, but I won't read all the passages. But there was two other things that were brought out concerning the sacrifice. And we'll deal with those in just a few moments. But this book, the book of Leviticus, is a book, and I understand, believe me, how we can read this and you read this and you think, well, it's just a sacrifice after a sacrifice after a sacrifice, and I don't understand what it is. If we ever perceive and ever see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book right here, I'm telling you, it is a blessed book of the revelation of Him. Leviticus. Everything within the sacrifices laid down the mark of the holiness of Almighty God. God Almighty is holy. How can a man approach God? That is the issue. How, Job says, how should a man be just with God? Now you think about this. This is not a light question. This is not an insignificant question. How can a man truly approach God? Now, in ourselves, we are absolutely, totally rebels against God. Sinners. Almighty God is holy. Holy. He will by no means clear the guilty. This thing of thinking that you can just approach God and just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Didn't mean it. That is absolutely ridiculous. God is holy. He's just. And Almighty God is going to judge sin. He's going to deal with sin. The soul that sinneth is going to die. Don't think, do not listen. A man that tells you you can just walk down an aisle and tell God you're sorry and just say, I don't mean it anymore. I'm going to give you my heart. It's just, let's bygones be bygones. Let it all pass over. It's ridiculous. God Almighty must be satisfied. He's satisfied. Israel. And Israel of old, being a picture of true Israel, was taught that God Almighty is holy and they're sinners. Israel was taught that there is but one way that God is approached. One way, and that He alone has determined, has set forth that way in which He's going to be approached. The thought that Almighty God can be approached and approached in peace, approached in the infinite holiness of His being, interests me. I want to know. Israel was taught that any other way, any other attempt to approach God was punishable by eternal death. I told you that in the tabernacle, it had a tent. It had an opening, right? The door. That's what it was called, the door. There's the altar. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here's that door. That door is a picture, first, of Him. That brazen altar, right there, is a picture of Him. That priest that took that sacrifice, picture of Him. That veil that was in the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, big outer tent, big one. I mean, it was a large, it was probably about the size of this building right here. It's sort of. Back part of it was that inner sanctuary. And only one time a year, the high priest could go into that inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, behind the veil. And behind that veil, there was the mercy seat. And one time a year, one day a year, he went in four times during that day, and I'll deal with that at another time. I'm going to mention something about it today. But one day a year, the Day of Atonement, that priest could go in there, and not without blood. And he would go in there, and the atonement, the covering. Almighty God sat down exactly the way He was going to be approached. Israel was taught that the only approach to a holy God is by the means of a sacrifice, an atonement, a covering for sin. And that one must die in the place of another. Now remember this. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The permanent message is this. Sacrifice for punishment of sin and a priesthood for perpetual fellowship is the only way. A sinner needs a sacrifice. A sinner needs someone to take his place. A sinner to have any hope before Almighty God must have another take his place. If my sin be found on me before Almighty God, Almighty God must deal with me in absolute judgment. A believer needs a priest. A sinner needs a sacrifice, and a believer needs a priest. The Lord Jesus Christ, our peace offering. Now today we consider a portion of Scripture that sets forth the glory of our blessed Savior as our peace with God. Peace. Fellowship with God Almighty through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And peace within our conscience. I want peace with Him. I desire peace with Him. And I want to know. I want to know that I have peace with Him. I want Him to grant me some peace in my conscience, in my heart. Peace with our God, our peace with Almighty God is established on the basis of one thing. We dealt with this a couple of weeks ago. Our justification before Almighty God. Almighty God, for me to have peace with God, I must be justified, declared to be just before Almighty God by the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is the declaration of righteousness, justly founded upon the imputed righteousness of our Lord to us. Now, the peace offering was not offered by one that was seeking or attempting to make peace with God, but was offered as an offering of thanksgiving because of peace that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through His blood. The Scripture does not say that we have made our peace with God by accepting His offer. He wanted to make peace with us, men say. Men say, God wants to have peace with everybody. God wants to establish peace with everybody. But He can't unless you let Him. Boy, that's the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life. That Almighty God would want to make peace with me and would wait on me to make peace with Him and satisfy the demands of His law. Peace is established on God's law being fulfilled and honored. Peace, having made peace through His blood. Now, the way of peace, the heart of peace, the heart of peace, was that verse of Scripture that I quoted a few moments ago, John 14:6. I am the way. I'm the way. When that offerer would come to that door, this is the way God was approached. This is the way. He would come to that door and He would bring that sacrifice. And that priest would take it at the door. That was God's appointed way. That door being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord said, if a man tries to come in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. I'll tell you something. You talk about punishable by death. Someone tried it. It was that outer court that I keep referring to. It was cloth. It was cloth tent. An outer perimeter. You tried to come in, slip up under, or crawl over the other way and try to come in and make your own sacrifice, you're going to die. You're a thief and a robber. He said, I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our peace. This peace offering was offered in thanksgiving for peace established by Almighty God. How in the peace offering then is the Lord Jesus Christ as the way set forth? How is it? He said, I'm the way. Now you know these offerings are a picture of Him. Well, okay, verse 1 says, if His oblation, if His offering, if His gift be a sacrifice of peace offering, if He offer it of the herd, if you offer it of the herd, an ox is what it is. If you offer it of the herd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our way, as our peace, is set forth, first of all, if the offering for the peace offering be of the herd, an ox, He is our strength. That's what that ox set forth. Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 1. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in His apparel, traveling in the greatness of His strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is He who is our peace? I tell you this, He's the mighty God. Mighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ is set forth, first of all, in the peace offering as being our strength. Revelation 12:10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace, is the mighty God. Matthew 28:18, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." All power. How much does that leave you or me? None. None. We have no power. We have absolutely no ability. Crown of our head, sole of our feet, putrefying sores. Without me, He said, you can do nothing. Nothing. Our peace is the mighty God. If this oblation be of the herd, the ox, the Son of Man hath power on earth, listen to this, to forgive sin. You know, we think lightly of that. We read that statement right there, and we think lightly of that. But you leave this world without Him. And I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, that scripture right there will be vividly important. He hath power to forgive sin. Who can forgive sin but God? He had power to lay down His life and power to take it again. That's power. That's power. The mighty God. Mighty to save of the herd, the ox. Christ, our strength. I'm weak. As Peter cried, Lord, he was on that water. Lord, save me. Save me. I can't save myself. Secondly, look at verse 7. If He offer, and as I said a few moments ago, the remainder of this chapter repeats basically what I read. But the seventh chapter says this, if He offer a lamb for His offering, then He shall offer it before the Lord. Here we see Christ, God's lamb. That's what Abraham told Isaac. Isaac said, Father, here's the wood, it's the fire. Where's the lamb? And Abraham told him, he said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb. Behold, John said in John 1:29, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If the oblation be of the herd, He is the strength of our peace. If the oblation, if the offering be of the Lamb as to His meekness, His submissiveness, His gentleness, meek in His submission to the Father's will, willingly, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Of this commandment I've received of my Father, all that He's given me, I should lose none. He's the Lamb of God. Meek. Meek before Pilate, the Scripture says, He opened not His mouth. From a lad, 12 years old, Scripture said that He said this to His mother, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Gentle in being led to the slaughter. Voluntarily offered Himself, the Lamb of God, personally innocent, charged with the guilt of His elect, charged with the sin, the debt of all that the Father had given Him, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb. This is what we saw in the burnt offering, the submissiveness, the sweet savor, the submissiveness to Almighty God's will to redeem His people. And then thirdly, look in verse 12. If his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And then the remainder of that chapter deals with the sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is our way, if it be from the herd, the ox, the strength. If it be the lamb, the submissive, meek lamb of God. But if it be a goat, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. Now, I don't plan to, Lord willing, when we get to this 16th chapter of Leviticus, I'll deal with this in detail, but I cannot pass this point without saying something here to honor of our blessed Savior. If the oblation, now here's the peace offering. It could be an ox, it could be a lamb, it could be a goat. In Leviticus chapter 16, in verse 8, the Scripture says, "And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make atonement with him, to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." Now let me tell you basically what happened here. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would come in, and a sacrifice was made first for himself, for his sins. A bullock was offered. And then afterwards, two goats would be brought to the high priest. And these two goats, Scripture says that lots were going to be cast. We're going to have lots now. Proverbs 16:33 says the lots are cast, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. This wasn't by luck. This wasn't by the luck of the draw. The lots are cast, the disposing of the Lord. These lots would be cast. One was for the sin offering, one was for the scapegoat. The disposing thereof shows that the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ was according to God's determinate counsel. Men, evil men, wicked men, men just like you and me by nature, took the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did just exactly what they wanted to do. They took him, as Peter said, "You with wicked hands," took him, crucified him. Oh, they said, "The Romans did it." Peter said, "You took him, you wicked hands, you took him." But Almighty God had determined just exactly what would take place. By His determinate counsel, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into this world to redeem His sheep. He was sent into this world to shed His blood for them, for the elect, to lay down His life for them, to take their guilt upon Himself. And He did it just exactly the way that His Father determined that He would do it. He laid down His life. Our peace before Almighty God, when the Lord said, "I am the way," the peace offering set forth. The way of strength is the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of submissiveness and meekness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, right here, the way of putting away sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. The lots were cast. One for the sin offering, one for the scapegoat. Lord willing, the next offering we look at after the peace offering will be the sin offering. What was set forth. But this goat, these goats, were taken, lots were cast in one of them. If the lot fell on this goat for the sin offering, that goat was slain, its blood was taken, sprinkled, sin offering. But then the Scripture says, turn with me to Leviticus, turn over one page there to Leviticus 16, verse 20. Up until this verse of Scripture right here, it tells just exactly what the high priest did with the sin offering. He took him, put his hands right on that sin offering, and a picture of imputed guilt laid on that, you know, and that goat died. A picture of what Almighty God determined was due sin. But then the Scripture says in verse 20, when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him. Now you listen. I will tell you right now, I'll admit to you, there's no way that I can set forth, only by the Spirit of God given a revelation, a heart revelation of what actually in type is taking place. Of what happened right here in type actually happened in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the substitute of Almighty God's elect, this actually happened. Look at this, verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall beat upon him all their iniquities in a land not inhabited. And he shall let the goat, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now listen. You want to know something about peace? Here is something concerning our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our sin bearer, paid the debt that was due. Almighty God laid on Him the penalty, the debt, the guilt. And under the indescribable justice of Almighty God, He died under the judgment of Almighty God. And this other goat, the scapegoat, the hands of that high priest was laid, and he confessed all the sins, all the iniquities, all of them. And that goat was led away. He put our sins as far as the east is from the west. And Almighty God will remember them no more. He paid our debt. Who paid our debt? Christ, our strength. Who made peace with us? Christ, God's Lamb. Who made peace with us toward Almighty God? Christ, our sin bearer, who took our debt and under the judgment of Almighty God paid it in His own blood and bore our sins away. All of them. I heard someone say the only debt that I'll have to answer for are those that are unconfessed. Those are the only ones I'll have to answer for. You better hope you don't have one to answer for. Because if you do, you have no hope. Christ, who is our peace. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, our strength, our Lamb, our sin bearer, the one who took our sins away, who bore the sins of His people. The significance of this today, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's sacrifice, our peace with Almighty God. The Scripture says in Leviticus that scapegoat was to be presented alive. He is to be presented alive. And He shall bear those sins into a place that is uninhabited. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, 25. Who is he who bears the guilt of his elect and has borne their sins away? Who is he? Hebrews 7, 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth." That goat was to be presented alive. Sin, guilt, the sins were to be confessed over him, and he was sent away. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. Remember, that high priest on the Day of Atonement had to make sacrifice for his own sins first. Had to offer a bullock first. And then the scapegoats for the people. The sin offering and the scapegoat. He needeth not, the Scripture says, daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. The guilt of all of God's elect. All of it. All of it. Now this is some comfort to you that believe. How much did he bear away? All of it. All. The Lord Jesus Christ, our strength, our lamb, our sin bearer, our scapegoat, who bore it away. Here we see peace established by the Lord Jesus Christ, our strength, God's Lamb. And then in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Scripture says this: "He made peace by His blood." By His blood, He made peace. 1 John 1, 9 says, well, let's read verse 8. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now listen. Do not say that you don't have sin in you. If you say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's not a person redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's sitting here today that has not the presence of sin. But the guilt of that sin, the penalty of that sin, he has borne it. He paid it. He paid it. Now, what's the evidence of one that Almighty God has called out, regenerated, and revealed what he has done? What is the evidence? They believe God. They believe God. By faith. By faith. Faith is the evidence of things that's not seen. Without faith, and faith not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Faith. Now here's the evidence of those that believe God. Here's the evidence. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now let me ask you this. Do you think that Almighty God, that the basis, the foundation, do you think that the reason that God Almighty has forgiven sin in His people is because they decided to act by their own free will? And ask, do you think that's the basis? The Scripture says that He's made peace with His blood. He is our peace. But the evidence of those that Almighty God has made peace for is they're honest with God. And they'll admit what they are. If we say we have no sin, confession or acknowledgement supposes or reveals a new heart. If we confess our sins, man by nature is a liar. Man by nature does not believe that he's a sinner. The reason I know this is that he will not cast himself, left to himself, upon the mercy of Almighty God. Why? He doesn't believe he's that bad. He's like the Pharisee that went up with that publican. He justifies himself. It says he prayed with himself. Prayed with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. I thank you that I'm in a class just about all by myself. I'm sure not like this publican right here. A man that has no guilt in his own eyes before Almighty God looks on the outside. I fast twice a week. Tithe everything. You know, I'm not like that sinner right over there. Confession is the evidence of a new heart. Confession, the heart of a believer, a redeemed sinner, shows, reveals God Almighty has done something for him. Confession is not the foundation, the basis of forgiveness. The blood of Christ is. Christ, turn with me, last verse, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Here's the voice. Here's the evidence. Here's the heart exposed of one that Almighty God has done something for. I said last verse, I've got one more after this one, and I'll quit. Psalm 32. Blessed is he. Blessed is who whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, whose sin has been atoned for. That's what atonement means, covered. Covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Let me ask you this. Are you a sinner? Now just be honest. Are you a sinner? Let me tell you who's blessed here. The one who God won't charge with it. That's what it means. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. And in whose spirit there's no guile. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Let me tell you the evidence of one that Almighty God has established peace with. That man is honest before God. I confess my Lord. Thank you. If we confess our sins, it's evident He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Almighty God is not sitting here waiting on somebody to ask forgiveness so He can establish peace with them. That's salvation by works. That's salvation to your honor. That's salvation to your glory. And He will share His glory with no one. I'm holy. I'm holy. Confession is not the establishing of sonship. Confession is not the establishing, the setting it, the building of it. It's not the establishing of sonship. It's the expression of it. Now here's the last verse. Luke 15. I said that confession is not the establishing of sonship. It's the expression of it. Luke 15. Two brothers. One of them decided one day, both of them sons, one of them decided one day he'd had enough of it. I'm going to take my part, I'm going to take off. He took his money, his inheritance. Scripture says he spent it in riotous living. Luke 15, Scripture says, in due time, he came to himself. Came to himself. It's a picture, type of Almighty God revealing to one of His own, because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because you are sons. Luke 15, verse 18. That boy said after he came to himself, I'll arise, I'll go to my Father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring forth and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it. Let's eat, make be merry, for this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and found. And they began to be merry. Almighty God has established peace by the blood of His Son. And He did it on purpose. He did it according to His purpose. He did it according to His time. Eternally. If I could say it time, when I say time, He did it in eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ, our peace, and that's what's set forth, first of all. And Lord willing, tonight, I want to go into the remainder of that chapter and set forth what Almighty God has set forth in these sacrifices by which the Scriptures say the blood of bulls and goats never put away sin. That picture of the Lord Jesus Christ set forth Him who is our peace. All right.